Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Tonight we're going to have our special Valentine's show to talk about Valentine's Day, which is a topic that a lot of people like to try to run away from because it's a painful reminder of what you don't have, and we'll talk about that in a moment. If you have any questions or would you like to make any comments, I'm going to give you our call-in number. We're always happy to hear from you and get your feedback. And our number here is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that one more time. It's area code 646-716-4893. And before we get started, I just have some announcements that I would like to make. First, we're getting ready to go to Houston, Texas in just a few short weeks. And I'm really excited about that. There's a number of our women from around the country actually are going to converge there in Texas for a healing weekend. And so hopefully we'll have one of our best weekends ever. We have Patsy Ray Dawson who's coming to join us and also Debbie Thomas Brown who's going to be joining us. And both of these women, you know, have wonderful insight from the Christian community. And there's some of us who are Jewish who are going to be there. So we're having a really ecumenical kind of a weekend. Discussing
isn't that great,
though?
Different backgrounds. I love, because you get so many different perspectives. I love being able to converge together and get all that. Cause it's so helpful. We have such
it
a
is.
Wonderful group of women from so many different backgrounds and religions. It's wonderful.
I know, but I know that with the Christian issue, that so many women really suffer with it, and I'm hoping that, you know, this weekend talking to Patsy and to Debbie, that people will realize, you know, what they have to do and that it's okay to do it. You know, it's one thing for them to hear it from us because, you know, we're coming from a counseling point of view, but at least when they talk to, you know, these women who are really, you know, strong proponents of coming from it from a Christian point of view, who are leaders in their community, I think that will really help. So that's going to be in Houston on March 3rd and March 4th. And if you're interested in joining us, you can write to me at bonk@aol.com. And also, I'm really excited that in a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting our UK chat for our women who are in the United Kingdom and also in Ireland. And we're also going to be starting again our Australian chat sometime in the next month. But this will give women an opportunity, not only in those countries, but in other countries who can't make it to our American chat, to have other options of chats that they can go to, just to find other women to find support. And that's something that's so needed when you're going through the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are you doing tonight, Misty?
I'm doing well. Staying warm. Trying to stay warm and doing well.
And that's really funny when you hear in Florida that somebody's trying to stay warm, isn't it?
I know, I feel guilty for even saying that because it's got to be colder everywhere north, more north than me, I'm sure. So, yeah, it's pretty cold for Florida. It's cold back.
Yeah, Florida it is. People down there have very thin blood.
We do. We're like the reptiles, you know. We need that warmth to warm up.
And even though I know that we are the Straight Wives Talk Show, I think we would not be incorrect in mentioning, you know, how shocking it was about the death of Whitney Houston.
Oh, I know. Isn't it terrible? So young.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's terrible about it is as I reflect on her life, because I've been following her since she came out with her first big hit. You know, I was a very avid fan of hers for so many years, is that here you have a woman who is probably one of the most talented women who ever lived, with one of the best voices I've ever heard in my lifetime. Who's beautiful, who's talented, who's a movie star, who can act, who's loved by, you know, a whole community that she grew up in, who was nurtured, who came from a religious family and background. And yet, you know, her self-esteem must have been just as low as everybody else's. The fact that she got involved with someone who was so destructive. She stayed with him for so many destructive years of fighting and anger and, you know, having a horrible marriage. You know, and he was really kind of a thuggy guy, you know, an ex-con who really didn't have much to offer in a drug addict. And, you know, she was willing to give up everything, you know, for what reason? For no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, I think this reflects so much back on self-esteem. I mean, I can't really think of any other reason why somebody could give up something unless they just didn't feel good about themselves and felt that need to be with someone who was so horrible, who would just bring her life down as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that or no?
I agree with that.
I may be assuming, but...
I think in addition to that, I think when you look at that type of fame, you know, the fortune's not going to make you happy, as we can tell. And the other thing is, I think they get on such a natural high when they have their success. When they come down, they're not prepared to have that stability in their life. And it's just really, I think it's difficult to make those transitions along with, you know, her and her background doing, choosing the mate that she chose, and I mean, just all sorts of things. It's just a really sad picture, very, very sad picture.
Terrible. And, you know, just like I say, it just always hurts me when I see someone who has everything who ends up with nothing. And, you know, I think if somebody like Whitney Houston can't feel good about herself, what chance do other people really have? But I shouldn't say that because, you know, there are plenty of people out there who do feel good about themselves and they don't have a lot to offer, like Whitney Houston had, but, you know, they've learned the secret of how to feel good about themselves, and I really admire that tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I fight with the issues of low self-esteem every day of my life, as I have my whole life, and yet other people seem to not have that problem. They know how to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really commendable when people do. But anyway, today we were going to be talking about Valentine's Day and just getting some insights on it because I know this is a very hard time of the year for so many of our women because of what Valentine's Day represents. And it's kind of like the Christmas time where you can't get away from the images, you can't get away from, you know, all the messages, every minute you're watching on television, looking in every store, and there's the hearts and the flowers and all the representations of love. So what I decided to do for tonight, Misty, is to go back and read some of my old newsletters going back, you know, 10 years ago about Valentine's Day, because not much else has changed in all these years. I think that depending on where you are in your recovery, that these feelings are just as relevant today as they always were. So I'm going to read a couple of them, and then I'm going to give women some tips we're going to talk about on how to change your focus on Valentine's Day, and Misty's going to help me with that. But in the meantime, this is a column from actually 2002. And it says, Happy Valentine's Day Not. In the past, I've written about the difficulty that straight wives have during the holiday season. It is not uncommon for depression to set in somewhere around Thanksgiving and continue right through the new year. During that six-week period, there are three holidays that revolve around family happiness and unity, something most of us are missing. While we get caught up in the preparation for these holidays, we can't help but to feel an emotional letdown when they actually take place. We know what they represent, and yet we never feel the wonder and joy of what the holidays represent that others are feeling. We go through the motions, waiting for the emotional impact to kick in. But when it doesn't, that's when the depression kicks in. And now, just as we get back to our normal existence state of mind to cope in our relationships, we are once again brought down by the most hurtful holiday of all, Valentine's Day. This is the day that exemplifies love and romance. It's hearts and flowers all the way. It's a day that symbolizes what being in love is all about. It's a day where two people who love each other take the time to stop and think about that love and to remember how it feels to be in love, even if some of the passion has faded through the years. If you are the wife of a gay man, excuse me one second. This is a day that really hurts. This day, more so than all the other holidays, is a slap of reality about your marriage. You see, on the other holidays, you can cover yourself with a veil of illusion because they are family holidays. Whatever you are lacking in your marriage can be compensated for through your children and other family members. But Valentine's Day is different. It's about the two of you. And no matter how you justify it by thinking it's a day of love in general, it's not. Yes, you can buy Valentine's Day cards for your son or daughter, mother and father, co-worker and friends to try to make it better. But there's really no escaping what it really is, the holiday for lovers. The reason why this holiday is so painful is because it is upfront and personal and right in your face. No matter how you try to avoid dealing with the reality of living with a gay husband on a day-to-day basis, and lull yourself into a false sense of security, Valentine's Day reminds you of the lie you are living with the man whom you fell in love with and married in good faith. It's a reminder of everything you were supposed to have but were cheated from having. And the man who robbed you of your dreams is still lying in the bed next to you. Each morning when you wake up with him next to you, it's one more day of living a lie. Now, the lie wasn't your lie to start with, it's his lie. But it has become your lie because you're living with him. You're going through the motions of what marriage is supposed to be, but it's falling way short of your intentions when you made the commitment at the altar. Your husband, who promised to love and cherish you through sickness and health till death do you part, never mentioned that he would never be able to love you the way you needed to be loved. In fairness, maybe he didn't know that he wouldn't be able to do it. No doubt, he was hoping that he could pull it off. And I'll even go so far to say that maybe he didn't come to terms with the fact that he was gay on that life-changing day. But in almost all cases, he knew he was having conflicting feelings. He knew something was off, even if he couldn't figure out that it was homosexuality. Even when I speak to gay men who tell me they honestly didn't believe they were gay or hadn't acted on those impulses prior to marriage, they still knew looking or thinking about men sexually aroused them. And even if they still couldn't come to terms with that, they knew when they stopped making love to you early in the marriage that they were not attracted to you because you were a woman. But they kept that quiet because they were afraid if they told you their secret, you may blow it for them. You might pull away their security blanket, leaving them vulnerable and feeling naked. It wasn't always an easy choice for them to keep lying to you, but it was easier than telling the truth. So to those of you who are living in one of those many situations that bring us all together under this umbrella of commonality, let me personally wish you a happy future Valentine's Day. Believe me, it can happen to you just like it happened to me. This is a day I celebrate in a big way. It's a day that makes me happy because I have a man whom I'm in love with. He makes my heart flutter and my knees still get shaky when we touch. And that's after 8 years. I don't say that to brag, but rather to let you know how life was meant to be. You are meant to have a man who can love you and make love to you. You were meant to meet someone who would cherish you and treat you as if you were the most important part of his life. The fact that you were sidetracked doesn't mean you are doomed forever. It's never too late to find the happiness you are seeking as long as you don't give up hope. And even if you don't want to think about falling in love, at least think about not living in an abusive situation. Work on loving yourself enough to move away from a man who is not your soulmate, but who is destroying your soul instead, one layer at a time. Go out and buy yourself a giant box of chocolates. Enjoy each one of them as you remember how sweet life is supposed to be and how wonderful it will be once you remove yourself from a disastrous situation. And that was back in 2002. What do you think?
I think it still fits today. And I love that. Buy a box of chocolate and remember how sweet life is.
I'll tell you.
How it's meant to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, I haven't really read these over. You know, so, like I say, I know they go back for a while. But I'm just hoping that they'll sound okay.
They do. They still fit today. They're very classic.
Yeah, they are. Now, this one's from 2003. That was from 2002. This one says, Happy Valentine's Day to all my girlfriends. It's that painful time of year again for many women who are presently married to a gay man or still recovering from the aftermath of their gay husbands, namely Valentine's Day. I don't forget the sting of that day that stung me so many times in subsequent years of my life while my heart was frozen in the void status. It was always a romantic that thrived on being in love. But through the years of my marriage to my gay husband and the recovery years that followed, it was like that Gershwin tune that goes, "They're writing songs of love, but not for me." For those of you who are struggling through your marriages, Valentine's Day always falls short of your expectation. Some of you have not lost your enthusiasm. You've made all the plans in your head for a fantasy that never comes true. You plan a romantic evening with a beautiful home-cooked dinner of his favorite food. You psych yourself up for that yearly hope that the hearts of the day will make your husband's heart change and create an evening of passion. After the anticipation builds throughout the day, the reality becomes a goodnight peck on the cheek, intermingled with the words, I love you, and off to bed he goes, meaning off to sleep, not sex. I wish I would have known through those lonely years what I learned later in life. It would have lessened the stabbing pain at the end of the evening and the tears that left my pillowcase soggy. Here's the message. Don't lose your hope for romance and passion. They are both somewhere in your future. That's the good news. The part of you doesn't have to die at all, no matter how much your gay husband wishes it would. You see, to him, it's a major pain in the neck. Every time you get those touchy-feely urges to go and touching and feeling him, it gives him the willies. Yikes. What's the new excuse of the day going to be? How many headaches, toothaches, ulcers, depressions and exhaustion excuses does he have to come up with? It's such a nuisance. The other good news is that there's someone out there waiting for your love. It's not going to be your husband, so you can put that thought out of your mind. But your soulmate is out there looking for you. I believe that. I see it happen over and over again. It happened to me when I had written off the possibility. Women whose hearts have been deadened through the lack of nurturing by gay men who are not capable of giving it, one day have their hearts awakened again by a straight man who knows what it means to love equally and unconditionally. No one is happier than me when I hear from a woman who was born again after being buried under for years. I cheer my girlfriends and applaud their courage in coming alive again. I tell them, go for it. I've watched the transition of some of my wonderful friends in our online support group this year. I've seen women who never fell in love that would come their way once again to feel their hearts flutter. Even if things didn't work out, they didn't retreat or give up. I tell them, keep practicing for the real thing. Practice makes perfect. For most women, it's been so long since they've been around straight men that they've forgotten what to do. That's where the practice comes in. If any of my readers would like to share their stories of feeling alive, please send them to me so I can share them with the several thousand readers who need this kind of inspiration. As always, your stories can remain as anonymous as you like. And to those of you still waiting to feel those flutters again, happy future Valentine's Day to you. It's always within your reach. What do you think of that one?
Well, I love that one. You probably heard me giggling a little bit, only because, I mean, it's so true. It hits so true when, you know, it's a day for a gay husband. You know, how many ulcers, how many headaches, how many excuses have we truly heard? I mean, I'm going to back up, it was never funny when I was in a marriage. It was heartbreaking. I would cry myself to sleep. But looking back, it's just so true. It's terrible. And you talk about eroding away your femininity, your own sexuality, because I put my own sexuality into remission. You know, it just erodes the very essence of who you are.
Doesn't
all it? All that neglect, all that the put-downs, I'm sick, you know, what the ulcers, the headaches, the stomach aches. I can't even remember what all kinds of aches and pains there was. You know, there were just so many. And it's just so eroding to one's self-esteem, because, you know, you hear all your friends say, oh, well, you know, my husband, my boyfriend, they can't keep their hands off of me. You just hear all these stories, and you think, wow, is that really true? And then, you know, you're completely been denied and ignored, neglected sexually, completely.
I know. For me, there's nothing more painful than that. And that's why it's funny. All these other holidays are tough, but I find Valentine's Day, when I was married to my gay husband, was the toughest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this was a constant reminder of what I didn't have, what I couldn't achieve, what I would never have, you know, and it made me internalize, why couldn't I be a better wife? Why couldn't I be more attractive? Why couldn't I be thinner? Why couldn't I be everything that would be attractive to him, when, in fact, nothing would be attractive to him because he's gay?
Absolutely. Valentine's Day and our anniversary at the time was always very hard for me, the marriage anniversary. Those were two very difficult times for me, because those should be, you know, two very wonderful times that couples should celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
There was very little celebration going on.
That's true. Well, I'm going to read one more. This is my last one to read. This is from 2006. And this says, Happy Valentine's Day to all of my straight wives. It says, February is a bittersweet month to many of our straight wives. That's because the world is celebrating Valentine's Day, the holiday that commemorates love, the foundation of what a relationship is based on. This year I have printed numerous letters from women who have taken back their lives and taken a chance on love again, as the words to one of my favorite songs goes. But many of my readers are still stuck in the muck of recently out of it and not feeling too keen about this day. That feels like a jagged edge, blades and all cutting into their hearts. For those of you who are still living confused, unhappy lives, let me reassure you that reading this newsletter means that you're fighting back. It's a small step in a long line of steps, but at least you're moving forward, not content to be complacent or oblivious to your unhappiness. I'm not the judgmental type, really I'm not. When a woman tells me that she's unhappy but can't leave, I never say, of course you can. Life is never that simple. I like to remind women that I was able to do it because my ex-husband walked out and gave me a week to breathe. If not, who knows how long I would have stayed and languished with him. My ex gave me the gift of life, literally, and saved mine by leaving. At that moment, he thought he would teach me a lesson. He was so convinced that I could never make it on my own, and that I would jump to take him back under his terms. When he returned a week later, all I needed to know that was that no matter how hard I would have to struggle, with two little children and no money or career, it was better than living in an upside-down world, always dodging distorted mirrors. I was tired of being Bonnie in Wonderland. I never regret making that decision 23 years ago. Some of my women have been living in an emotionally abandoned situation for 10, 15, 25, and even 40-plus years. Those years of being stripped down layer by a man who is uncaring to your emotional well-being and who is often controlling leaves you in a battered state. Some women are given the message on a daily basis that they can't make it without their gay man, and they start to believe it because they have lost who they are. Girlfriends, I understand how difficult it is to end a marriage no matter how unhappy you are. I never sit there and say, if I can do it, you can do it. That would be cold and insensitive on my part. What I do say is that if you want to do it, someday it will hopefully happen, but it may take some time. The important thing is to keep sight of what the goal is. The goal is to take back whatever good years you keep losing and to find happiness within yourself again. You don't have to find the love of your life. You just have to start to love your life and be free of the pain. Many women write to say that they wish they could meet a wonderful man who will be their partner in life. But you can only meet someone who is your true love after you relearn to re-love and trust yourself again. Then it will fall into place. No woman is an island. We all need help and support. Living with a gay man is isolating enough because we live our lives as detectives, waiting to trap him. And that's when we catch him. And then when we catch him, we think we need more evidence and want to catch him again. That's because every time he's caught, he denies the evidence, waters it down into being some kind of curiosity moment, or promises that it will never, ever happen again. Right. Well, actually, I meant to say wrong. Your gay husband will not change. You can wish for it, pray for it, or go for counseling for it, but it's just not happening. He might try in earnest to be sincere when he says it won't happen again, but he's fooling himself and you. Gay is not a choice. It's a state of being. People can control their behavior, but they have no control over their sexuality. What does this mean? It means that your husbands have no choice in being gay, but they have a choice on acting on it and on being honest with you. Some women believe that their husbands love them and their marriages enough to deeply bury their homosexuality. And some men really do make the effort, but guess what? They are not happy campers. They love you, but you can't fulfill the need they have within them, either emotionally or physically. I believe that they have a mental need to be in their marriage, but their thoughts and hearts are always somewhere else. They are gay. You are a woman. You can't give them what they want aside from being a security blanket. Some gay men can have sex with their wives. They still want a man. A few gay men can even satisfy a woman. They still want a man. A few rare women have told me that their husbands were great in bed. I believe their husbands were great actors. One gay husband recently wrote to me that he has spent years studying how to satisfy a woman because he loves his wife to make sure she is satisfied. But he still wants a man. She is satisfied, he isn't. When a man isn't happy with his life, he's not happy with his life with you. He may love you, but either consciously or unconsciously, he starts to believe that you are the obstacle standing in the way between him and happiness. And so he looks to find fault with you because it's easier than accepting responsibility for himself. Once again, this isn't about love. It's about sexuality. And sexuality isn't always about sex. It's about the things that go with sex, like intimacy. Something he wants from the same person he wants to have sex with, which isn't you. Some women tell me they have intimacy with their gay husbands. To them, intimacy means laying side by side, with or without holding each other, and talking about stuff. It is intimacy without sex most of the time. And some women have confessed to me that this is even better than sex. They don't mind not having sex. This makes me very sad because what they're really saying is that they never knew how wonderful making love with a straight man can be as far as fulfilling, gratifying, and satisfying. Many of these women have had only one man in their sexual lives, their gay husbands. They have nothing to compare it to or judge it by. They just know they don't mind not having it. After all, sex isn't all it's cracked up to be, right? Wrong. Rather, having sex with someone who doesn't want to have sex with you is not all it's cracked up to be. There are a lot of complex issues revolving all around this one common problem. But in spite of it, happy Valentine's Day to all of you. I'm sending lots of love your way. Don't be afraid to reach out for support. I'm here for you, and some very incredible women who come to our support chat are also there. So that was the message for that year, 2006. What do you think?
It was great. The thing that stuck out to me so much as you were reading that, it's a great piece. And the thing that stuck out so much was the, you're not an island. A straight wife is not an island. However, during the marriage, it's a great description. We become an island where no one can get to us. We don't reach out for help. We're embarrassed. We're afraid. We go into the closet with the husband if we know that he's gay sometimes. It's just such an horrible thing to go through. It's horrible. Just so the isolation is painful, very painful isolation.
Isolation is painful, and I think your perceptions become so distorted over time that you don't even know what's normal, what's not normal, what's right, what's not right. You know, you just fall in line and just, you know, you become brain dead, and you just function, or you exist.
It's like operating by remote control, doing as told or doing as have to. You know, it's not living.
No, and I think so many women just, you know, accept it because it's just easier to. And they just accept that they're not really entitled to get more out of life. And I always But, you know, this is just so difficult to look at a woman who sacrifices her life for a bad marriage that she shouldn't be in. And, you know, I hate to bring up this subject again, but, you know, it just bothers me so much when our women have to take medication to stay in a marriage. I mean, there is something so appalling to me about that. When a woman says, well, I'm coping, you know, I'm taking, you know, Prozac, or I'm taking this, I'm taking medication or antidepressants so that, you know, I can cope through this marriage. Misty, does that make sense to you?
I can understand being so depressed, needing something like that, and I understand what you're saying. It's so sad that, once again, the extent of what we will go to when we get ourselves so depressed by staying into these marriages, that they're not easy to leave, bottom line. They're not easy. It's possible, and you can heal from it and all that great stuff. But it's just you seem so trapped when you're there. The more trapped you feel, I believe, the more depression that can come on, the more isolation you're going to have. It's painful. It is truly painful. And to get relief, many women, they will seek out antidepressants to try to find some relief. I'll be very open. I sought out antidepressants myself. I went to my family doctor, got a prescription. I think I took them for 3 weeks, and I asked myself, why am I doing this? I have to leave. This has to be over. He's gay, and I'm taking antidepressants.
Yeah, see, I think the problem is, you know, and I know that my friend Carol from the Straight Spouse Network, who will be with us, you know, this spring, you know, like she says that, you know, when she was going through this, she took nothing. She said, I wanted to feel the pain. She said, you know, you don't want to numb yourself from the pain because then you can't think straight. You know, if you feel the pain, then you're able to cope better as far as making plans for your move out. But, you know, if you just numb yourself to, you know, make yourself feel okay, then, you know, I think that's a dangerous step because you're just giving into this. Now, I'm not saying that.
Be careful with that.
Right? I mean, I'm not saying some women don't really need it because they're not functioning at all. But, you know, this is not a way to exist in a marriage to have to take pills to cope in it. It's all for your mind. Like, I don't get that whole concept. You know, people need antidepressants because either they're naturally depressed, you know, or physiologically depressed. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, or for a moment in time, you know, you lose somebody very close to you. You know, I understand that. But I can't understand staying in a marriage for years on antidepressants because it's going to make you feel better. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. I mean, you're really cheating yourself out of what you really deserve if you feel you need to do that. And that's just not with women married to straight men, I mean to gay men. I know a lot of women married to straight men who are doing the same thing because they have horrible marriages. You know, women really owe themselves so much more than to stay in an abusive situation or an unhappy situation. You know, life happens. Mistakes are made, and that's why you can always fix a mistake. But anyway, I'm trying to put a positive spin because now I've brought everybody down. But there's a good article about Survival Guide for Valentine's Day. So I'll try to bring out some good points, and you can make some comments about these, Misty. Okay, so the first one is make it a girl's day. Go out to lunch with your girlfriends, have a cup of coffee, and chit-chat about guys. Or go to dinner with your other single gal pals. Valentine's Day should only be about couples. It should be about love of all kinds. And what better way to celebrate than to love you, the love you have for your friends? What do you think about that one?
Absolutely. The first Valentine's free I had, I can remember it so well. I got together with myself and two or three of my great friends that were single. We had tons of chocolate. I mean, we had lots of chocolate. We had champagne to celebrate, you know, our relationship with each other, love for ourselves. And there were a couple of us that were newly divorced. So it was wonderful. We had chocolate-dipped strawberries. I mean, we did not hold back. We had roses. We had everything. Each person was required to bring something to another friend's house, and we did it at her house. It was one of the best Valentine's Days I've ever had. It was wonderful. We just had so much fun. We reminisced. We laughed until we hurt. It was just wonderful.
That's a very interesting concept. I like that.
And we planned it. Now, that's what I want people to hear. We planned this like a week or two ahead of time. Get yourself held accountable. Find your girlfriends that are single and make a plan. Don't wait till the last minute. We planned this a week or two ahead of time. And it was wonderful. It was so fun.
Now, the second way they suggest is pay a visit to the spa. You can all use a day of relaxation. Go to your local day spa. Get a massage. Sit in a whirlpool or sauna. And get pampered. After all, you deserve it. That sounds good, right?
That is wonderful. And that's wonderful for a couple reasons. One is it's complete self-care. Self-care is wonderful. That puts you right on the healing road. The other thing is, as human beings, we crave human touch. And getting a massage can really fulfill that need, especially when you're coming out of a divorce or separation. And especially it's compounded when you've been in a relationship with a gay husband, that you don't get much touch. So massages are wonderful. There's been a lot of research on that, actually. They're wonderful. The human touch can be very healing.
Well, this is something that I would probably do. It says, forget what day it is. Eye the calendar, flip it to March, or just don't look. Valentine's Day is like any other day, just because Hallmark sells those cards with hearts on them for February 14th doesn't mean you have to participate. In other words, use my denial tactic. Just, you know, deny that it's even happening. And that works for some people.
It does.
Right?
It does. It doesn't work for me. It would make
hang
it
out with your
bad.
Family.
Mm-hmm.
This one says, this seems to be a great retreat to any depressing occasion that you don't want to or can't partake in. Sitting on mom and dad's couch, for instance, will be so comforting. Top it off with a cup of cocoa, and you'll just reminisce about the times when you were young, and you could care less for Valentine's. That sounds good, too, right, if you have a good family.
Mm-hmm.
This one is find a last-minute date. Resurrect some names from your little black book and set up a date. It doesn't have to be a Valentine's date, of course. Just call your crush and ask if he's busy. If he isn't, offer a cup of coffee. That's not so Valentine's Day-like, but at least you have something to occupy you for the night. That's an interesting thought.
It's interesting.
Next one is one of my favorites. It says, pig out. Go to your local supermarket and get your favorite snacks. Let yourself have all the things you usually feel guilty about consuming, and this time don't feel the least little bit guilty. Just indulge. That was good, right?
Indulge is always good.
Mm-hmm. The next one is called, number 7 is go to happy hour. Odds are some of your coworkers aren't going out either. Not everyone is taken. And beyond that, not everyone celebrates a commercial holiday. Plan a get-together over the weekend with who's available and have some martinis. That's good for my drinking friends.
Mm-hmm.
Next is pick out the best guy friend and make him take you out. Yes, I'm suggesting that you fake it. If you don't have a man at the moment, use a boyfriend doppelganger. You can still hit the restaurants and bars for the fun Valentine's Day specials, and no one will be the wiser. Number 9 is buy a new wardrobe. Retail therapy always saves the day, doesn't it? Get yourself to a mall and buy some hot new clothes. That way, when you do have a date, you'll be prepared. Next one is watch SoapNet. Nothing beats lonely Saturday nights than watching Brenda Years and old episodes of General Hospital. Not only will you feel good that these characters have lives way more messed up than yours will ever be, but eye candy like Dylan McKay will cheer you up in no time.
That's funny.
Isn't it?
That's funny.
Remind yourself that many couples are unhappy. I like this one. Valentine's. Did you ever stop to think that a lot of these men and women out during the holiday may have lots of problems? Just because they're eating a meal together on February 14th doesn't mean they're happier than you. In fact, some are probably quite the opposite. Next is remember that being single is fabulous. It's the old age thing that gets us single gals to say to ourselves when we're home on Friday dateless. But wait, being single is fabulous. There's no lying there. Who wouldn't want the paragon of choice and the endless opportunities? The world is your oyster. Number 13 is have a Sex and the City marathon. It's good to watch Carrie Bradshaw and friends on a holiday like Valentine's Day because you can celebrate your singledom like the girls on the show. Who needs men when you have fabulous shoes and friends, Carrie would say.
Mm-hmm.
Number 14 is eat some ice cream. No, it doesn't make you sad and pathetic. It makes you awesome because you can handle the sugar and you deserve it. And don't get some sugar-free sorbet. Get the really good stuff, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip, or anything from Cold Stone. Next is be zen. You can meditate, do some yoga, or just sit in silence smiling. Refining your mind and tuning yourself in is just what you need. Number 16 is make yourself hot and hit a bar solo. Who says you can't go out by yourself on Valentine's Day? Make yourself look adorable, step out of your house, and check the local bar. Sit at the bar, chat with the cute bartender, or meet someone new. Anything is possible. Number 17 is read countless fashion magazines and strategize for your spring wardrobe. You can make Valentine's Day a productive one by planning what you're going to wear when spring hits. It's only a month away. Number 18 is throw an anti-Valentine's Day party. Invite all of your friends who are against the Hallmark holiday over to your house. Serve drinks like It's Great Being Single martinis and solo and fabulous margaritas. Number 19 is give yourself a makeover. Maybe it's not Valentine's you have an issue with. Maybe it's you. Not to make you feel bad, but maybe all you need is a little bit of revival. Plan for a new look. Get a haircut. Style yourself anew and change things up. Number 20 is chat with other lonely friends online. Your computer is your friend. Turn it on and see who else is home on Valentine's Day. It's always nice to know you're not the only heart home. You're not alone. Next it says join Match.com. You may not have a date this year, but you can start preparing for next year. Start online dating to broaden your options. Plus, you never know. Maybe you'll have a date the same night, so you won't be alone on Valentine's after all. Number 22 is hit the gym. Some exercising releases endorphins, working out can only cheer you up. Perhaps there will be a cute boy at the gym without Valentine's Day, too. You can ask him to go out with you for a smoothie after your workout. Number 23 says pleasure yourself. Who needs a man when you have fun toys and videos at your disposal? Number 24 says go to a local restaurant with a girlfriend and laugh at couples who are sitting in awkward silences. Forced romanticism is never fun, and odds are that a lot of these men were dragged there by their ears to this meal. Number 25 is eat chocolate, and has been known to cheer women up, which is why so many of them turn to it during times of turmoil. Indulge in a box of truffles or a yummy candy bar. My personal favorite are Hershey Kisses. What's yours? 26 is throw a slumber party. Go back to a time in your life where you and our friends would giggle about boys, not cry about them. On Valentine's Day, get together with your BFFs and have some fun. From playing silly games like Truth or Dare to making s'mores, this will prove to be more fun than an awkward dinner with a man you're lukewarm for. And the next one says, don't care. It's only a day. It will be over in time. Just let it pass and try not to think about it. Number 28 is have a fling. Enough said. Number 29 is stage a fashion show and photo shoot. It's good to feel pretty every now and then, and even if you're not going anywhere special, beautify, put on something hot, and take pictures of yourself. It sounds egotistical, I know, but you'll feel oh so fabulous afterwards. You can even upload your favorite shots to your Facebook or MySpace. That'll show the rest of the world that you could care less for Valentine's Day. Read a great book. Eat, Pray, Love is my personal favorite. Anytime I am down about not having found the right one yet, I read it and it always changes my perspective. Find an inspiring book that will get you back down to earth thoughts that have nothing to do with cheesy stuff with hearts on them and forced eat dating. Next is book a trip. Valentine's is just a day, but if you book a trip, you can always look forward to days of fun away with your friends, solo, or with family. That's way better than any day with candied hearts. And last but not least is enjoy yourself. No matter what you do on this day, or any day for that matter, always enjoy yourself. You may not have had that other half that attached people have, but that doesn't mean your life is any less fabulous. No way. Be each their own and love your life. So what do you think of that, Misty?
I think there's some really great things in there. I think that it's I could have picked out many things to do. Of course, my favorite one is the one I did with all my friends the first year. It was wonderful. I had recently filed for divorce. So, I mean, it was a week or two before I filed for divorce. And it was fabulous. We had so much fun. It was wonderful. It really was. And, you know, get together with some friends. If you tend to feel depressed if you're alone, it's wonderful together with friends. Another thing is that I really like, and that helped me, I did. I changed my look. I got my hair cut. I had a great friend that was working at a makeup counter in the mall. And almost any local mall will do this because they want to make a sale. They will do your makeup for you. They will give you, you know, a redo on your makeup and some good tips. I mean, book an appointment, and it's free. Of course, they usually want you to buy some of their product, but it's usually really good stuff. So go to the mall counter and ask how you can make an appointment for, you know, and try out a certain type of makeup. And these people they're trained in makeup artistry, and they can really do a great job. You know, give yourself a new look. Feel better. Feel better about yourself. I love the hairstyle one. Of course, I changed my hairstyle. That was very fitting for me. The shopping, you know, buy some new clothes. And not to sound weird or very prying, it was very important, and it is for most of the women I work with, to go buy pretty underwear. It helps you makes you feel very feminine. So when you go shopping, don't forget to buy that for yourself. You know, no one has to see it. You know it's there. It can help you feel good about yourself, the purpose behind that. So there's some great things on there. I think they're fabulous.
I think they ought to make Valentine's cards for me. That might be a new good one, you know, for companies like Hallmark. You know, happy Valentine's Day to me. I have learned to love myself this year better than anyone else. I realize that, you know, I am the one I can count on. I am the one who can love me. You know, I think that, you know, Valentine's Day, if you put it in a new perspective, which sometimes we have to, can be about loving you. And to me, that's really what's most important.
It is.
I tell our women who are going through gay husband recovery, which is certainly a process, and it's not something that happens overnight. But if you don't fix yourself, and if you don't learn to love yourself, you're never going to be able to love someone else in the right way. And that is something that I have had to work on my entire life. Not a day, not a year, my entire life. And it really took me till I was this old to love myself enough to not care anymore if I am alone or not alone. I mean, right now things are going great with me and my boyfriend. You know, I know a lot of people were wondering about that, because I had, you know, discussed this before, that we had a trying month in December.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought for myself, if I have to end this relationship, it's 18 years and I'm still madly in love with this man. But I will never have to feel like I'm not number one in someone's life for any reason.
Right.
And, you know, I gave him that choice. I said, look, if you want a relationship with me, whatever problems you're having have to be straightened out. Because, you know, otherwise it's not going to work for me. I can't tell other women to stand up for themselves if I feel bad in a relationship. And, of course, you know, he would never, ever do anything to intentionally hurt me. You know, he is a wonderful man, and he is a caring, kind, compassionate man, too much so. But my point was that I needed him to take that compassion and turn it towards me, because I always wanted to feel like I'm number one. And, you know, I feel that way right now, but if I didn't feel that way, guess what? I would tell him that we had a great run, but it's not working for me anymore. And I would survive it because I do love myself enough not to allow myself to get hurt anymore. And that took me, God, 60 years. You know, I just turned 60 in September. I don't think I could have done this a year ago or 2 years ago. But I finally have built up that strength to care enough about myself that I won't let anything happen to me. That I love myself enough now. And guess what? It's the best feeling in the world, Misty. It really is. And I think that every woman needs to work towards that goal. And hopefully it won't take you till you're 60 to get there. You know, hopefully you can get there before I did. You know, I'm certainly never one to say, do as I do, because, you know, I have a lot of my own issues. But at least I recognize how to work on them. You know, like I told you that my self-esteem issues, I work on them every single day. That you have to work every day about feeling good about yourself and what you have to contribute to this world. And I feel good about it. But, you know, you have to believe it also. You can't just say it. You have to really believe it in your heart.
Absolutely.
And that's why it hurts so much when so many women are just hurting so much of the time. And they just feel they can't do anything about it. You know, they feel so trapped and they feel so hopeless. And I think that's one of the reasons why you and I, every Sunday night without fail, or almost every single night without fail, that we're here so women can tune in. And they depend on this show to give them the kind of strength that they need and the kind of hope they need. And, you know, there's sometimes when we don't have a lot to talk about, but even when we don't have a lot to talk about, we still talk about what we need to.
Absolutely.
Give women that hope and that courage that if you're stuck in a bad situation, you don't have to be there forever. You know, it can change. And you can't give up your hope. And the fact that you listen to this means you're not giving up hope, right?
I agree. Means you're doing something for yourself to join in with someone, you know, that knows your situation, understands. There's healing power within that, just knowing that someone out there understands and has gone through before you and has made it and survived.
Exactly. So, you know, I just want to wish all of our women a happy life. It doesn't have to be a Valentine's Day. I mean, Valentine's Day, I think, is a reminder for us, if nothing else. It doesn't have to be a holiday that we go out and celebrate with hearts and flowers, but it does need to be a reminder day for us, a reminder how life can be when you're not in an abusive situation. You know, Misty, I've met women who have come out of this, who have gone on. I think about, you know, one friend I have, her name is Carol, not Carol, you know, Carol from the Straight Spouse Network, but another friend of mine, Carol, who used to be in our support chat many years ago when I started. And we became very friendly, and, you know, at that time she said to me, you know, I'm just looking to recover from my, you know, terrible marriage. You know, I thought I was married to my best friend, you know, that whole story. And I would say to her, well, hopefully you'll be able to meet somebody. She said, guess what? I don't want to meet somebody. And that was like an odd concept to me. Don't want to meet anyone? She said, no, I'm perfectly happy with my life. And, you know, I had to realize that there are people who are perfectly happy with their lives. They don't have to meet someone or be with someone to feel fulfilled. They can just love themselves enough to feel fulfilled. You know, nobody said that life always has to be about two people being together, right?
Absolutely. I've experienced many periods of that in my lifetime where I wanted to be by myself. I truly have, and it is so fulfilling. It's empowering. It lets you know that you are fine. It gives you such freedom. There's such a sense of freedom to that. You know, you'll find people that constantly want to pair you up. But I have found that I've had several periods of that in my life, and it was very empowering. I quite frankly, I enjoyed it.
Right. So, you know, how you love is your business. And if you love yourself enough that you don't want somebody else in your life, that's perfectly fine, too. But if you are romantic like I am, and I have been my whole life, my mother used to say to me, you're more in love with love than just loving someone. And
I'm a hopeless romantic, too. I'm guilty of that, for sure.
Yeah, I'm really horrible with that. I like the romance more so than the companionship or the stability. I'm happy being in love, and that's probably why I would never get married again. I'm just really happy to have a wonderful soulmate, you know, and I don't have to be married to him to be happy. In fact, I probably wouldn't, because then life would become too normal. But, you know, like I say, we enjoy the passion, the intimacy that's between us. and we're not young people or older people, and it's still happening for us all the time. So that needs to encourage people, you know, that there's something out there for you if you want it. And if you don't, if you're just happy to be on your own, that's good too. But to just stay in a situation that isn't good for you, that's not good. If you're unhappy or you're living in a situation where you just feel every day when you wake up you're existing, that's not what life is supposed to be like. And that's why get in touch with us. We're happy to show you the support. We're happy to talk about, you know, ways that you can make a game plan for the future. It doesn't happen today. It will happen tomorrow or the next month or the next year. But as long as you have a plan, you'll get there. So I think that's my Valentine message, Misty. And what would you like to add to that?
I think that's beautiful. I would encourage you, if you are alone, to go out, buy your own chocolate, your own flowers, whatever it is you need to make yourself feel loved. Do that for yourself. Don't wait on someone else to do it. Provide it for yourself. You deserve it. Take care of yourself, pamper yourself in however way that makes you feel loved. And do something really kind, nice for yourself because you deserve it. You deserve
right.
to
do
love
something inspirational. Go buy one of my books. You know, if you buy one of my books, you'll read lots of stories in all these books from other women who have found the courage to pick up their lives and move on. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you want to give yourself a Valentine's Day present, go to BonnieKBooks.com or go to my website at GayHusbands.com and click into my books. I think when you find other women who can relate exactly to the way you're feeling, and no matter which the book is, The Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, Part 1, Part 2, you know, How I Made My Husband Gay, you know, there's so many books listed there with stories from women just like you who lived through your experience, who survived it, and who moved on in their lives. It's time to see how other people did it to inspire you to do it. So order yourself some great reading material, and you'll certainly be happy that you did.
Absolutely.
So, Miss, I want to wish you a wonderful Valentine's Day because, you know, I do love you.
And thank
you.
Thank you
in my life as one of my closest friends in life. And,
thank you. Honor.
You know, I give thanks on Valentine's Day for the, you know, very lucky people who, you know, who I feel, you know, people who I'm lucky to have in my life, and you're certainly one of them. And in fact, I wear your beautiful heart that you made for me all the time. Misty makes beautiful jewelry, and I was lucky enough to buy a piece of her jewelry a couple years ago now, or last year. And whenever I wear it, people always stop me and they say, my goodness, that is just so beautiful. Where did you get that? And I tell them, it's really made out of real stones. I forgot what stones they were, Miss. These green and white stones.
I can't remember. Probably some type of jade. It was green, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was green.
Green.
And the heart on it is
green. Type of jade.
And it says fly. Mm-hmm. Even my boyfriend was reading it the other day. He said, there's a message on here. I said, yeah, that each one has a personal message.
I put all messages on all of them. I'm actually getting ready to get back and do some more of those. That's my therapy, is to do the jewelry and get my hands into the clay, into the earth, and, you know, make things and shape things. And, you know, affirmations are so important. And then putting jewelry on the little hearts, I put a little word of affirmation, and it's very powerful. I wear one every day. I wear one of the ones I make every day. And it helps.
Maybe one day you'll be able to get your jewelry up online on a website.
I should, because I have a lot of
buy your jewelry. We would really promote it on here, and people would see how beautiful it is, and they would feel inspired too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love to do it. It's just so wonderful to look down. If you're having a bad day, you look down, you see your little message. It helps. It really changes your thinking, changes your thoughts, and it can change your perspective, and that's where healing is. It's when you can change your thoughts, change your perspective. You truly can have a wonderful life. It's wonderful out there. Life is certainly worth living.
Absolutely. So, without further ado, we're going to say goodnight for the week and say we love you to all of our listeners, and we hope you have really special Valentine's Day with different meanings this year. And never give up hope. Never give up hoping for love. And never stop loving yourself. And life will always go right if you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Misty, with a lot of love to you, I'll be talking to you next
week.
And I'll let you say goodnight to our listeners.
Happy Valentine's Day to all, and goodnight, and love to all, and especially to you, Bonnie.
Thank you. Thank you, Misty. We'll be back again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.